Dr. Kanta Ahmed is with us now. She's a pulmonologist, NYU Langone, and senior fellow at Independent Women's Forum. Doctor, welcome back.
Brian, good morning again. Great to be with you.
I know. We were on television this morning, but last week you did say to me you're a little worried. You hope the president doesn't rush to get back. Some are saying he did. Do you feel that?
No. I think, first of all, I was very relieved that the president was humble and vulnerable enough to go to Walter Reed on Friday evening. I think that was a great decision on the president's part. The treatment planning that they had is terrific. They obviously aimed to neutralize the virus that was already in the body. They got him on day one of the infection, so the viral burden was low, much lower than the patients I saw here in New York at the beginning of the pandemic. And then they gave him remdesivir, which stops the virus multiplying and making more progeny. And then they gave him the steroids to combat his immune response. So actually, I think he's had extraordinary treatment. I do believe this treatment will become standard of care around the globe eventually if the Regeneron trials come out. And also, the president is not going back home the way I would send a patient home or you and I would go home. He has a full in-house medical team at all times and is going to be very closely scrutinized. He's just resuming some of his activities of daily living, maybe not everything, but many things that he can do while he is safely observed. And what's very nice is he's obviously responding to the treatment without complications, without setbacks, and he's moving in the right direction. Remember Brian Garibaldi, who's the lead pulmonologist managing the president with the Walter Reed team, has published the research on predicting how patients do when they get sick. And I'm sure that's coming into the decision-making.
Well, that's true. Some have speculated that if you need oxygen on Friday twice, supplemental oxygen, you drop before 94, you want it at 98. You're the pulmonologist, but that's what they say for, they tell us laymen, that there could be some damage to the lungs. And the fact that they don't say there's no damage means there might be. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I would never initiate oxygen for a pulse oximetry of 94%.
No.
And we have to know perhaps at the time he was mounting a high fever and it caused a slight drop in oxygenation. The pulse oximetry is plus or minus 4%, even with the highest resolution pulse oximeters. So that means nothing to me. And if he was on oxygen, it was transient. It may have been for 45 minutes. Or it may have been in preparation to get into the helicopter or go to the hospital. So I'm not worried about that. His lungs are functioning well because we see how he's functioning. Speech requires a tremendous amount of lung function. Speaking in full sentences, you know, even when you have asthma, that's not possible when the asthma is active. So we can see from his speech, from his walking, that he's doing well. And I don't use the phrase lung damage casually. The public may. It's most definite that this virus targets the lungs. That's where the receptors are. And that's actually what Regeneron does, is prevents the virus from binding to those receptors. It's a very important mechanism of preventing it from doing any injury. But do I think his lungs may have been involved? There's a possibility. They may be slightly inflamed. And even so, the lung has incredible reserve capacity to deal with all manner of insults and infections. People can live with only one lung. So even if there are shadows or fluffy infiltrates on any of his radiology, it means nothing because he's functioning, oxygenating, ventilating well.
Is he contagious?
That decision of moving to the White House will have been an enormous consensus decision all of these doctors have taken. So we shouldn't question it. I think it's very sensible.
Is he contagious?
So that's a great question. Typically, once we contract COVID, the first 10 days we're likely to be contagious, but we're most contagious before we have any symptoms, before we even have a diagnosis. So the president might have been contagious a few days before he knew that he developed the virus. So, of course, we had by the day that he became positive. Now, what's interesting is because he's had both remdesivir and Regeneron at the start of his illness, his viral burden is abruptly curtailed. So they may still be able to test that he has virus in him, but it is significantly reduced in its ability to be contagious. And that will continue through the rest of the week. So we would like to see if the president is in close contact with somebody, he should wear a mask. Eventually, he will start to test PCR negative. But even before he's PCR negative, the viral burden in his body will be so low, it will no longer pose a risk to others. And that's a very difficult determination to make, but his team can make that.
Dr. Ahmed, a lot of people pointed out the fact that the president had a team of doctors and he got this antibody cocktail. That's something we would never get. Therefore, when the president says, don't be afraid, well, we should be because we don't have what he has. What do you say to people like that?
Well, first of all, Regeneron is in trials thanks to the president's Operation Warp Speed mission. That drug would never have reached even clinical trials if it was not for the president. If the trial is successful, I think there's a few thousand people enrolled, that drug will then be available to be approved for the market, and Americans will be getting it. Second of all, the president is telling us two different things. He came out of the helicopter wearing a mask. He also said, be careful. But what I am seeing in many of my patients who now come to see me for other reasons, there is a paralyzing fear of moving in society, which is debilitating families and patients. I am seeing mental illness. It's part of my field. I am seeing patients that are decompensating with previous mental diagnoses or new mental diagnoses because of the isolation and the overwhelming fear that this pandemic has instilled, and that's a normal response. And that itself, the fear, can also be destructive to our health. So just as we don't want people to smoke because we know it can cause lung cancer, we don't want people to drive without a seatbelt because you can die doing that. Similarly, we want you to move in society, but use your precautions. Don't crowd into a poorly ventilated space. Don't leave your mask at home when you're around other people. Use your judgment, and we can balance the two. Mm. I think by going to the Walter Reed, by keeping us updated in videos, being willing to show us that he was not feeling well when he left the White House. Remember, every day we got a video update. The president is very humble and is showing that he can get infected, he can seek treatment, and he can return to resume the beginning of normalcy for him. And that is the path of the vast majority of humanity in this pandemic.
So I want you to hear the president's I want you to hear the president's message, and is this helpful? I think it is, but I want to hear what a doctor like you, who's seen the worst of the worst already with this pandemic, cut to.
Don't let it dominate. Don't let it take over your lives. Don't let that happen. We have the greatest country in the world. We're going back. We're going back to work. We're going to be out front. As your leader, I had to do that. I knew there's danger to it, but I had to do it. I stood out front. I led. Nobody that's a leader would not do what I did. And I know there's a risk, there's a danger, but that's okay. And now I'm better, and maybe I'm immune, I don't know. But don't let it dominate your lives. Get out there, be careful.
So a lot of people have, almost every Democrat has a problem with that message. What about you as a doctor?
Right, so I understand the president, not only as a person who's had the infection, but as our national leader. And what I am very concerned about is there is an excessive reliance on immobilizing our population, which is causing untold destruction. Brian, I see people in my office that did not get cardiac stents when they needed them, that did not get a tumor resected when they needed them, and now we're dealing with much more advanced disease. I'm also looking at the carnage, the economic carnage, of people not having jobs, whole industries disappearing, no airline industry that's functioning, no restaurant industry. This is causing incredible destruction, including disease, including loss of access to healthcare, including a total destruction of the spirit. And I do think that we've put too much emphasis on immobilization. We should emphasize infection control. Yes, hand washing, masks, distancing, that's reasonable. We need much more focus on HVAC. We need every school, every university with proper ventilation, HEPA filters, and far UVC lights that sterilize the air within minutes of all viruses, including coronavirus. We need that all over the country. But the answer is not a zero-sum game. America is going to get back on the move if we know what's good for us while we observe the precautions. And I think two things are possible. So when the president says don't dominate, to me as a doctor treating patients, it means you don't give up on all reason for being. I have grandparents who are not leaving the home.
I know.
Or seeing even their relatives. They can. You can meet outdoors. I just had this discussion with a patient today. Meet outdoors while the weather is good. It's important to have human contact. There are many ways to mitigate the risk, and that's necessary. Otherwise, I have families that are entirely isolated. We're into the 6 month of isolation in some cases. So I actually cannot criticize the president for doing that because his role is different than any patient I would treat. He has also is confronting the risk. Let's say, God forbid, the president loses power, which I think would be a setback for the nation in many ways. And that I'm speaking as a private citizen now, not as a representative.
If he loses election.
Yeah, let's say he loses power. If we are going to have more outbreaks, that's the nature of every pandemic in history. If we immobilize this country again to the extent that we did,
like they're doing in New York,
Yes.
In about six zip codes.
Yes, but you're seeing in New York City, we've lost 80,000 restaurant workers do not have jobs. We have the entire entertainment industry, movies, theater, plays, Carnegie Hall, the Met, absolutely immobilized. Nobody's traveling to New York from overseas. No conferences. Hotels are losing thousands of employees. This is the destruction of some of our iconic
absolutely.
Cities.
That's why you can't just lose. No offense, doctor. That's why you just can't listen to the scientists. You have to be a president that listens to military scientists in order to make a decision. Correct?
I would say you do both. You listen to scientists and economists, but listen to the scientists who are saying the CDC was extremely slow to recognize airborne transmission. They just announced yesterday.
I know.
Scientists put a petition together, 240 scientists in June, begging there is airborne transmission. All these schools and universities empty for 6 months could have modified their ventilation. Every public building could be fitted with far UVC light that can neutralize the virus safely. That could have been done. There are so many other environmental issues that could have been addressed
yep.
by now, and we can still have the society on the move. So I listen to the scientists, but not only in my own field, and I listen to the economists because I look at the health effects of the economic carnage.
Gotcha.
So let's just pray the president gets better and continues the way he's doing, and God willing, he will.
Right. Dr. Kanta Ahmed, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it. She's with NYU
Langone.
Brian,
it's always a privilege.
Really. My honor. You're helping the audience out a lot. When we come back, we'll finish up with your calls and your comments and maybe find out if there's more to know.